Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Falcons Monday. I don't know that it's that good of a morning. It's a morning, and we're here, so that is good. There are good things about this morning. It could be better. Could be a better morning. Anyway, good morning, Randy. How are you?
Hey, what's happening, man? Yeah, man. It was a first of all, hello. How y'all doing? We appreciate y'all tuning into the Midday Show.
Hello.
Trying to, wrap your head around what the hell just happened yesterday and everything. But, hey, you know me, baby. Hey, I woke up this morning. Didn't smile, but if the sun is out, it's nice and crisp like you like it. I don't like it right now, but it's nice and crisp outside, beautiful morning. And we got a lot to talk about because, you know, I think I got most of my big, nasty, might get five cuss words out, Andy. So I think all that's out because you know me and everybody know I likes to cuss. So I'm going to do my best not to get dumped or get a stern text sent to me or anything. But, I mean – I don't even know what to say because, Andy, I remember my first time I played football, I was 8 years old. My mama signed me up. We lived in Fort Gordon when she was stationed down there. Played all the way up till I was 12, went over to Germany, played over there. Stopped playing until I was about 16. We moved to Peach County and played ever since then. And every team I was on, Andy, I was on the hands team. I was either the front guy or I was the back guy. On every year I played football from when I was a junior and at Peach County to the day I retired, mm-hmm. I ain't never in the history of just me personally watching and playing football have I ever seen anything like that, man. Ever. That is so damn bad. It is so bad that I don't even have words to describe it because I've never seen nothing like that, Andy.
Yeah, ever. And the problem is there's no good explanation for
there
it.
There
is. Like the only explanation for it is a terrible one, but I guess there's options. I mean, the options are – either the guys didn't know the rule that they didn't have to let the ball go 10 yards. It's only the kicking team that has to allow the ball to go 10 yards before they touch it. The receiving team can touch it whenever they want. So, you know, fall on it before it goes 10 yards so the other team can't get it. So either they didn't know the rule, which is maybe the worst option of all. They did know the rule, but it's spinning funny and they thought the other guy was going to do it. Oh, the guy next to me is going to do it. No, you're going to do it. I'm going to do it. Or they all just choked. They all just choked in the moment because they didn't want to be the one to make the mistake that led to the Cowboys getting the football and going down and kicking the game-winning field goal. Because, look, the game was crumbling around them at that point. We understand that. They gave up 30 points. They had given up 27 points to that time in the second half. It had been a disaster. In order to even get to that moment, so much bad stuff has to happen, which we're going to get to. Because it's symptomatic of a lot of different things. It was not just yesterday. That was the most recent and maybe most egregious, the second most egregious, in this coaching staff's era. But it's it's a bigger picture problem that we witnessed yesterday, but it all boiled down to that moment. And Randy, I don't know. They could have used you on the hands team. That's for damn sure. Get you out there to fall on it. You could do that.
They're during a game week. They're, you know, you have your different situations. Your Monday, I mean, your Wednesday practice, Thursday, Friday, everything. Saturday is usually when you go over those little things, like onside kick, like the hands team, and all those things. And then, you know, Andy, they called a freaking timeout right before that.
They called a timeout before.
They called a timeout. I'll give you a little insight on the hands team. When they call the hands team up, you're in the huddle. They count them off at everybody. Whatever. Front line, you go block back guy. That's your ball. Ready? Ball. That's what we did. Onside kick. I've been on the onside kick team. All right? We got to get the ball. It's desperation time. We sell out. And then, Andy, it's not even like when I was playing on the outside, because it was the most dangerous damn playing football.
Right.
Because
you had guys, run up.
You had guys coming to take your head off. And believe me, I've caught four of them, and I got my head took it off one because the guy in front of me wasn't doing his damn job. So I know what I'm talking about. There's no way that ball should have not been fell on by. Three different damn Falcons. It's sitting there. You fall on it. No matter what, you are the receiving team. It don't matter what people around say. Stay away from it. You fall on the football. That is, I don't care how it was spinning or whatever. The ball is right there. You can fall. They can't touch you until you fall on the football. Fall on the ball. And then they have no timeouts. You got three knees and you on the plane back to Atlanta with a win.
That's it?
But no. No. You got, I mean, you lose the game the only way the damn Atlanta Falcons could lose a damn game. Mm-hmm. That is such an Atlanta Falcons football loss right there, Andy. It is. Because of everything. You get three turnovers. You stop them. Two fake punts. And you still lose on that? I would have just rather y'all just blow the lead or whatever. You lose like that?
Right.
Hell no. I mean, that is just pathetic. And I'll always say this. I, myself, everybody who's mad, will never feel as bad as those players do. Because I know they feel. That hurts so bad. But damn, homie. Are you lost a game like that? On just I'm just lost words, Andy, because I don't understand how you don't fall on the football. That is, you've been doing this since we were peewee. You fall on the football.
I do want to ask this just because, again, like the expectation is you know the rules, right? It's the bare minimum of your job to go out there and know the rules of the game that you're playing. Like, when is that discussed? Like, is that something that's talked about in
training camp? That's common sense.
You just know it, right? It's just one of those things that you know.
I hope it's common sense.
I hope so too.
Because you've been playing. If you're at that highest level, which is the NFL, Everybody, if you're on the hands team, you know the ball does not have to go 10 yards.
You have to know that, right?
You have to know that.
There's no excuse for not knowing that.
There's no excuse for you not to know that. I ain't never seen an offensive lineman on hands. I bet the offensive lineman knows that. The ball, you don't have to wait for them.
Nope.
And that was the most baffling thing, because as I'm sitting there watching this play unfold, Andy, I'm just like, is somebody going to fall on the damn ball? Mm-hmm. I know it's not. Because that ball had no chance of spinning out of bounds at 8 yards. None. That's why I was like, okay. So, I mean, who do you blame? You got to blame everybody. Everybody who went down to Dallas needs to take blame in this loss.
Yep.
Because it's a total collapse. Total.
Yeah, and you said it right. It is the most Atlanta Falcons way to win that football game. Literally no team in the history of football, as long as they've been keeping track since 1933 or something like that, I'm sure everyone's seen this number by now, teams were 440-0 when they scored 39 points and didn't turn the ball over. Until now there's one. Just like teams were, you know, undefeated when they're up by 25 points in the second half of the Super Bowl. Well, until now, it's always cool when the Falcons get to be that one. It's a large number and one. And that one just happens to be this team, and it happens to be the Dan Quinn era Falcons. And to me, that's the biggest picture of the day. I mean, it boils down to that moment on the onside kick that maybe, like, illustrates the frustrations. But it's a lot that goes into getting to that moment. You're up 20-0 in the first quarter, Randy. 20-0. In order to blow that football game, so many things have to go into it. And the problem is we've seen them do it a lot of times. Like, we've seen this group of guys, this coaching staff, this organization in this era right now, the identity of this era, and this is not hyperbole, this is not me picking on anybody, this is just true. The identity of the Dan Quinn era is choking. Yeah. And that's not a good identity to have for your football team. Like, you know, you to make it 6 years as a head coach in the NFL, you know, you have to have had some success. And obviously there's been some level of success. Otherwise, Dan Quinn wouldn't be here anymore. But every other coach that you can think of that's coached that long in the league, you think of, all right, what is a blank coach's team identity? All right, they do this. Oh, okay, this team's they do this offensively. This team's really well prepared. No, this team, no lead is safe. It doesn't matter how big they get up. The no lead is safe because they can put their foot in their mouth and they can make mistakes that you would never in a million years would have thought a football team would make, like not knowing the ball doesn't have to go 10 yards before you fall on it on an onside kick. It's unbelievable. I mean, it really is. And the one word that came to me, you know, it, when trying to really boil it down to its most simple essence, was embarrassing. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. It is embarrassing because now, again, you're the laughing stock of the league. Good teams don't make mistakes like that. They don't. It just doesn't happen that way, Andy. I mean, I've been on the edge of some heartbreaking losses, man. I'm talking about just like how the hell did that happen? How the hell – that type of – what happened yesterday to the Atlanta Falcons football team, Andy, is something that can derail the whole season. Because it's so crushing to lose like that. It's one thing because, like you said, you're up by those many – by 20 and all that. Yeah, that's fine. But to lose the game like that – and to let Dallas just – and the thing with sometimes in the NFL is so it's easier sometimes to play from behind than it is ahead. You know what I mean? Because you kind of change up defensive strategy. You keep everything in front of you. You're not as aggressive as you were in the first quarter and things like that. I get that because you don't want to give up the big play. But still, at the same time, you just got to play to win instead of playing not to lose. And a lot of times that's what you get when you get big leads like the Falcons had yesterday. They – You know, with the injuries and all that, Dallas was able to get that momentum. Now, in the fourth quarter, that score from the Falcons, that was a great damn answer.
It was.
That was a great answer by them. And you're like, all right, their answer. Because that was the biggest thing was you knew Dallas. I knew Dallas was going to make a comeback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got that juice when Zeke just ran over KZ. I mean, he, you know, and that gave him some juice. But the Falcons were able to maintain and keep going and keep going and keep going. But then you get down there, and then it gets to a point where, Bunk, you start – oh, hell. In the back of your mind, oh, here they come. Damn, here we go again. All right, come on, somebody get them up. You know what I'm saying? Instead of, you know, just continuously being aggressive. And they didn't do that yesterday, man. And that's why they lost. I mean, there's no way in hell when they went on that 3rd-and-2, on the trick play, that I was like, what the hell is Dirk doing? But then I saw it. I was like, oh, they got it. They got it. And then Julio couldn't break it in.
Yeah, you know? I don't know how that doesn't work. I mean, again, they didn't need to do it. They didn't have to run that play at that point, but it was drawn up and it was executed perfectly until the very last minute. And again, I mean, Julio Jones is, if anybody on this football team is to be counted on, Julio Jones is to be counted on. And he drops a ball yesterday. So again, like in order to get to that moment, a lot has to go wrong. Every individual has to have done something to play into what happened yesterday to get to that moment. Because you don't blow a 20-0 lead. You don't blow various other leads that they had at points in that game. Let me ask you this, though. Knowing the history of this team and this coaching staff and seeing leads blown before, was there ever any point during the football game where you thought to yourself, all right, they're good?
Nope.
They got it.
Nope.
They got this thing under control. Me either. Never
not
once.
One time did I think that I was like, good job, fellas. Played hard. I mean, Deion Jones was a madman. Yep. My thing is, why'd you go away from being aggressive on defense? Because you got up. And that's why I would say that's playing not to lose, not playing to win. When you're aggressive, you got, because they couldn't handle what you were throwing at them. And then you got two backup tackles that I think Dallas did a better job of getting the ball out of Dak's hand so he didn't have to hold the ball. You know, and then you got a backup tight end catching 9 for 91 in the tug on you because you just let him dig it. And that was I give Dak his credit. Dak took what the Falcons gave him. They gave him that little hook route by the tight end. He just kept dumping and kept moving down the field. But it's a total team collapse, man. You know, and of course we'll be talking about it pretty much all day. See your tweets and everything. We'll try to get to all of them. But yeah, that is just the most Atlanta sports team way to lose a damn game. If I ain't ever seen it, that's it right there.
Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending. We'll let you find out. We want to do this? All right. What Dan Quinn's talking about here.
And so we'll get to the truth of it, and then we'll get right back to work.
Oh, God. Oh, God. No one wants to hear that. We'll get to what's trending coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies.
ladies and gentlemen.
Time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
Got to be careful, this little dribbler down the middle now.
Yeah. And the ball is recovered by Dallas. The ball spun around. Atlanta looked at it. It rolled across, and Dallas got it.
Yeah, courtesy of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game yesterday. Maybe the low point of the game, in which there was many, many low points, and I think Wes called it right there. Falcons looked at it. A bunch of them looked at it. They got like eight. They got eight eyeballs on it. They just didn't get any hands on it. And thus the Cowboys recovered, and then they proceeded to march down the field, as everyone knew they would. As soon as they recovered that, you knew there was no question that they were going to go down the field and kick the field goal and win the game. And here we are, Randy, on a Falcons Monday. Tell the Truth Monday, by the way, up there at Flowery Branch. That ought to be fun. And Falcons are 0-2. I've got some numbers to throw at you here in a little bit, Falcons related. None of them are particularly good. But we talked about it on Friday. Just get to 1-1. The difference between 1-1 and 0-2 is one of the biggest differences in football. Never in a million years did I think they'd be 0-2 like this. I thought it was possible they'd lose to the Cowboys. I didn't think it would be like this. This is as bad as it could be.
Yeah, they had no business losing that football game. Yeah, I mean, they just call it what it is. And, you know, there's so many plays that, you know, in a game that kind of determine the outcome, some that you just don't see. You saw what happened with the Falcons. You know what I mean? Like, that was just, you know, you lose starters, you lose your right guard. And as soon as I thought overall Gano plays well, but the first play in, you get whipped and Todd Gurley gets stuffed. If he holds his block, Todd Gurley's going to hit his head on the goalpost because there's nobody there. But I look at this from just a total, just a meltdown of what, you know, of epic proportion, man. It was bad, and people are trying to tell me, well, maybe they thought, no, you don't think. You go. That's your football. You saw at the end of that, you see Hayden Hurst. They let C.J. Goodman just sit there and just, no, nobody's coming. Oh, the ball's at 9 yards. The ball's at, nobody's coming yet. I mean, that's just bad all the way around. You call it coaching, scheme, that's just bad all the way around. I still think the Falcons should have stayed aggressive defensively, you know, because I thought they were playing well when they were being aggressive. When they were sitting back and just sitting back on their heels, Dallas was finding ways to get them. And we haven't seen Dallas in a long time look that explosive on offense until the Falcons started sitting back. And we're gonna play not to lose this football game. We're not gonna play to win. We're gonna play not to lose. And then sometimes when you have that mentality and a team is gaining ground on you, it's hard to rev that back up to the point where we were aggressive at the beginning. And I just think they just lost their aggressiveness and everything. But yeah, this one stings. This one stings because of, first of all, I don't know how big it would have been if say they did this against the Vikings. They did it against the damn Cowboys of all teams. In all places, they did it against the Cowboys. Because we talked about this last week, but we said, would they be talking about the Falcons this week if they weren't playing the Cowboys? No, they wouldn't. But because they were playing the Cowboys and that happens to you against that team, of course it's going to be blown up even more. But, I mean, they got to find a way. I know you're going to have the stats and all this, 0-2. Just win a damn football game. I think we were at this point last year, this time last year. No, 2 weeks after this week. Just win a damn football game. You got a team that you should beat next week, but I mean, you don't know. But right now, just tell the truth. Monday up there, man, it's some pissed off dudes up there. Let's call it what it is, man. And you should be. You should be because you don't lose a game like that in an NFL where you just don't attempt to get the ball. They didn't make no attempt, Andy, until Dallas fell on the football. It's like.
Don't worry, ahead, Andy. Dan Quinn says, don't worry. It's going to make them better as a team.
Lost like tonight, it's hard to process. You can't believe it. You're frustrated. And so we'll get to the truth of it, and then we'll get right back to work, knowing that there's a lesson to take from it, and we'll apply it moving forward. But, this one hurts, and we've got to find our spaces to go finish, and when those moments come up, to go nail them.
God.
Whatever.
I'm sorry. That
Whatever.
He does talk a lot about finishing. Like, that's look, every coach in the NFL talks about finishing, but Dan Quinn – every single press conference, every single time he's ever talked to the media since he's been in Atlanta, that's been one of the biggest things that he preaches. And they're the worst finishing football team in the NFL. Like, for somebody who cares so much about something, for his team to be so historically bad at it, it's just kind of, I don't know, kind of tells you something about maybe the coaching that's being done. And I don't know. I know there's a lot of talk about whether or not they're going to make a move or anything. I don't think they're going to. I mean, if they were going to do it, probably would have done it yesterday or earlier this morning. I don't think anything's going to change. I mean, they got Mitch Trubisky coming in here on Sunday, and the Bears, who aren't very good. I know they're 2-0, but they're not very good. Don't lose to Mitch Trubisky at home. But again, what's the difference at this point? Like, what have you seen, or what do you need to see? What more do you need to see to change your opinion on what's going on with this team?
Nothing.
There's
nothing,
too much talent. There's too much damn talent for this to be going on.
What do we always talk about coming into the season? Both lines of scrimmage. I would say the Falcons won the line of scrimmage battle yesterday for the most part, especially offensive line. I thought they protected well. I thought they protected Matt. They gave Matt enough room to throw the football and everything like that. In the beginning of the game, the Falcons defensive line was just vicious. It was just like, I'm like, this is what we've been talking about. This is what we've been wanting to see. And they were. It just comes down to like the little parts of football, man. I mean, that was a hell of a catch by Gallup. That was a hell of a throw. I mean, you look at Isaiah. He was in position, but I mean, it was just a hell of a throw and a hell of a catch.
What are you gonna do?
I mean, hell, they paid him too. They get a check tomorrow also. They can pay tomorrow also. So I mean, that was just a hell of a throw and a hell of a catch. But I mean, when you look at how they went from being so aggressive to being, okay, we're just going to sit back and allow them, you know, we got this lead right here. We got this cushion, so we're not going to stay aggressive. I thought offensively they stayed aggressive, but I thought defensively they just, you know, okay, we're going to sit back and we're going to, you know, we're going to let – Dak's going to dink and dunk, and that was working at first. And then all of a sudden they saw the opportunity to get big plays down the field. That one play to Amari Cooper, I mean, they got the look you wanted. You want Amari Cooper in the slot running a double move on Keanu Neal. That's what you want, and they got it. It just seemed like every time a team wants to get something against this defense, they get it. You know, they can be patient all day, patient, then bam, there it is.
They need a first down, they get the first down. If they need the drive, they drive down the field and score the touchdown. If they need, 40 yards to get into field goal range at the end of the game, they get it. And with not a whole lot of resistance. If you look at where the Falcons are right now through two games, they've allowed the most points in the NFL, giving up 39 points a game, Randy. Maybe it wasn't just not taking the Seahawks passing game seriously. Maybe the defense isn't super good. They've given up 750 yards passing. They're allowing quarterbacks, and I know it's Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson, but nonetheless, to complete 77% of their throws. 77% of the throws that quarterbacks have made against the Falcons defense through two games have been completed. Goodness gracious. And that's how you're 0-2. That's how you get to 0-2. We'll get back into it a lot as the show goes on, obviously. We'll let you hear more audio from Matt Ryan and the rest of the guys. Phone lines are open multiple times today, too. 11:20 and 12:20, we're going to get out on the phone lines. And like Randy did an amazing job to start the show, because I could tell there was a couple times, Randy, where you wanted to cuss. Be as emotional as you want to be when we get the phone lines open. Just don't cuss. That's the only thing we ask. Anything else you want to do, go ahead and do it. Now, it was a good weekend for the Braves. The Braves actually had some positivity this weekend. They went up to New York and had some success. Let's hear a little bit of what that sounded like and Ronald Acuna from yesterday.
He drives that ball where it's pitched. It's headed for the right field corner. That's going to score Albies. Enciarte comes around to score. Streaking around is Swanson. Throw to the plate. Tag miss. Dansby gets in with a belly flop. And Ronald Acuna Jr. clears him with a big hit, a triple to right field, and the Braves now enjoy a 6-0 lead.
Chip Carey there from Fox Sports South. Chip going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour at 1:20 as we get ready for the playoffs. Braves are 7 games away from the playoffs. Magic number is 5 to clinch the division, 4 to clinch the playoffs overall, and I think they'll accomplish that over the next couple of days. 7-0 yesterday against the Mets, 2 out of 3 over the weekend, and Kyle Wright with a really nice performance yesterday. Yep. And you know, in a time where we need starting pitching, it was a good weekend for the starting pitchers up there in New York.
Yeah, man. I mean, back to back, you know, good outings by Kyle Wright, who, you know, 3 starts ago said he was close. And I guess it's what he bit, man. And, you know, it's good to see the young fella going out there doing his thing as they get closer to this playoff run that they're going to hopefully go on. But, I was really encouraged because, you know, it was one of those things where you can see how good this team is when they get capable starting pitching. You know, as far as offensive, you can see how good this team can be, and you can get your hopes high about it. But it's hard to keep your hopes high when every time you get them up, somebody punches you in the damn stomach. So, you know, I'm just going to keep it, stay even with this team right now. Like I said, five's the magic number to clinch the division. And then once they get there, Brian Snicker's going to have to make a decision on how he's going to send these pitchers out there. I mean, that's what he's going to have to do. And right now, Max Free, he looked amazing in his return on Friday. And then, like I said, Kyle Wright did his thing. Ian Anderson's going to be in the rotation, just all about where he's going to be at. And then we know Cole Hamels is there also. So, I mean, they have some decisions to make. But I think that I think Snick is comfortable right now with putting Max Free at the one. It's just all about, is Kyle Wright going to be that number two guy?
Yeah, I think that's basically what you're doing in the final weeks or so of the season, week or so of the season, seven games, is you get that order worked out. Hopefully Cole Hamels can, you know, show you something, and he can be one of the starters as well. But Braves are getting ready for the playoffs, which is exciting. It was good to have something positive over the weekend because, in general, everything else sucked. Brian Gebhardt going to join us with Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal, get us caught up on some other stuff. Georgia Tech hung around, and then they didn't. U.S. Open is over. Bryson DeChambeau. We'll get to all of it coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, we can still do that on a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. We'll get to a Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal in just a minute. Get you caught up on, like, everything else that went down this weekend. It was a really busy weekend. I know our lead story, unfortunately, the lead story nationally as well, is what happened to the Falcons yesterday. We'll get back into that in an NFL No Huddle at 11 o'clock, too. I do want to give a quick shout-out, though, Randy, if that's okay.
Of course.
Need to give a shout-out to the folks at Tucker Brewing. Went out there on Friday afternoon. Eliana and Tucker, super nice, funny. The brewmaster at Tucker Brewing, his name is Tucker. Pretty fitting. But it was the first time we ever took Lily to do anything, and she was incredible. She couldn't
She's
have
good
been
girl.
More chill. She was great the whole time. She slept most of it. Woke up once, wanted a drink. Obviously, we're at a brewery. She wanted a drink, so she got a milk stout. Hold the stout, and then there was a band that played music like very loud, pretty close to us. She couldn't have cared less. Just chilling, like just absolutely having a great time. So shout out to them for having us out there. It was a really good time. If you get a chance, if you're in the Tucker area, stop by and get some beer. It was really good. They got their Oktoberfest menu started up. We got a big pretzel with some beer cheese. Love it.
Sweet.
It was a great way to start the weekend. Unfortunately, the Falcons, you know, kind of let the air out of what the weekend was. We'll get back into that. Like we said, top of the 11 o'clock hour. Phone lines are going to be open at 11:20. So get ready. Just write your bullet points down. Emotional as you want to be. Absolutely. Just don't cuss. But before we get to any of that, let's get to a Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee high malt whiskey. Oh, I was wondering, round two with the 111, how'd that go?
Oh, it was good, man. It was good. It was good. He got me at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, when I almost choked on air, he hit me with that quick jab. But I stood tall, Andy. I stood tall.
Good.
Yeah.
Good to
and
hear.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's all we need to know. That 111 will get you going. Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
I was into the Chattanooga whiskey a little bit yesterday, too. I mean, between what happened with the Falcons and then my Giants and Saquon tearing his ACL, we'll confirm that today. And just all the injuries, it was a really just a bummer of a day. I mean, great to watch football, but really tough Sunday all around. But this cheered me up a little bit on Saturday. Big deal, small deal, no deal. UCF beating Georgia Tech 49-21, leading to this headline in the Orlando Sentinel. UCF makes statement to playoff committee with rout of Georgia Tech.
Oh, that's a no deal. That's a no deal. Nobody gives a damn. No. Central Florida's a damn good football team. Let's not get it twisted. They are really good. They are a good football team. But nobody don't be buying it. I'm about tired of them. You know, they crown themselves national champions and all that. Good for y'all. Have your school spirit. But we know you work. But I mean, that was a big time. I mean, that was a great win. That was a good win for them. You know, because Tech was coming off of that. You know, the high and everything, home opener and everything, and Tech, you know, opening kickoff to the three plays and in. But man, when UCF that offense is rolling, bunk, it's so fast. I mean, they go. And Gabriel's a damn good quarterback.
Yeah. No, I mean, kudos to them for winning the game and scoring all the points they did in the fourth quarter. Tech cut it to a touchdown late. Like, Tech scored. It was 28-14. Tech scores to bring it within a touchdown. And I was like, are they going to do this again? Like, are they really going to, kind of like they did with Florida State, just hang around right. and then go on a run? And they didn't, ultimately. But a lot of positives for Georgia Tech out of this game. Jahmyr Gibbs was phenomenal, man.
Yes.
Like, Jeff Sims and Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a lot of fun to watch as a duo in that backfield, quarterback, running back, for the next couple of years, both freshmen.
Yeah, it's going to be – I mean, they got some really good building blocks, man. Yep. And they're just going to continue to get better. And I'm talking about Georgia Tech because they're so young, and they're the youngest at the most important position in football, at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. He's only going to get better. Saw some really good things from him as far as throwing from the pocket was really good for him. But, you know, he still has some fresh mistakes. I mean, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. But, yeah, UCF, congratulations on the win. But, yeah, whatever.
No, you're not. You didn't make a statement.
Yeah, whatever.
Back to the original question. No, UCF didn't make a statement to the playoff committee by blowing out Georgia. They didn't even blow out Georgia Tech. That's a misleading headline. Yeah, that's nonsense. No deal.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. The two big guys battling it out for the Nuggets and the Lakers yesterday at the end of the game, Anthony Davis, Nikolai Jokic, but Anthony Davis with this shot to win it for the Lakers to go up 2-0.
Rondo looks in. He's guarded by Jokic. Three-pointer Davis. Biggest shot of the game to Anthony Davis, and the Nuggets are going to lose game two in the Western Conference Finals by a final score of 105-103.
That's a big deal. That was a hell of a shot. I don't know what the hell Mason Plumlee was doing, but I mean, just everything of the whole Kobe tour. You got the Black Mamba jerseys. I think AD was wearing Kobe's, and then he yelled Kobe after he hit it. It just seems like it was fate, man, and it was a hell of a shot. But Nurk, I mean, Jokic, he played his butt off, especially in that fourth quarter. And the play to put him up, how he backed AD all the way into the paint, yeah. And then hit a little jump hook. But yeah, AD was special yesterday.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's awesome. It's been a fun series. Well, at least this game was fun. The first game wasn't all that fun. Don't know if the Nuggets need to get the next one, man. Otherwise, the Lakers may run away and hide and just go to the finals after sweeping them. That play that Jokic made on the Jamal Murray shot that came up short, where he, like, somehow read it correctly and tipped
it
in.
Yeah, how crazy was that?
That was crazy. Like, to have the wherewithal and the, I don't know, what, coordination, athleticism to bat it towards the hoop and have it go in. But, yeah. AD's awesome. Unbelievable. Great defender. He's on the perimeter defending Jamal Murray at crunch time. He's in the post defending Jokic. And then that three at the end to seal it. I didn't realize that he yelled Kobe. That's really cool.
Yeah. They said he yelled Kobe afterwards.
That.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah. That was a big deal. Very, very cool. Very, very fun.
And the Lakers remain undefeated in those Mamba jerseys as well, which is something Anthony Davis talked about after the game, too. Big deal, small deal, no deal. I guess this guy's my guy now. Bryson DeChambeau. Winning the U.S. Open, running away with it yesterday.
It's a big deal to win a tournament like that. And if I'm not mistaken, is that his first one?
Yep.
Yeah, it's his first major victory.
Of course. Yep. Oh, that was a big deal for him. I don't like that. I didn't know how how y'all – I mean, I just didn't like what y'all didn't like him and how long he in his quirky ways of playing. But listening to him at that damn presser yesterday made me want to slap that damn Kangol off his head. Bruh, he is an annoying dude. I was sitting there like – what the hell are you talking? It was in an immaculate way that I, man, shut up. It's like, ooh. Now I see why y'all don't like him, man. But ultimately, Brian did pick him.
Yeah, Brian picked him. Now we know we owe Brian a double order of wings, by the way, from Magic City. So we have to make good on that. Randy, you also almost exactly predicted what would happen at the U.S. Open. I don't know if you remember this from last week, but you said the winner was going to be at 7-under. Yeah. Bryson was at 6-under. I said anybody shoots 7-under, they're going to win by 5 strokes. If he would have shot 7-under, he would have won by 7 strokes. So he did. He outplayed everybody. He outlasted everybody. He stuck with his game plan, which was just absolutely bomb it off the tee and be able to use that length to have shorter clubs into the green. And people want to talk about how length and technology and all of this in the game of golf are, I don't know, cheapening things. I don't think that's true. Like, you didn't watch that tournament if you didn't see how good Bryson DeChambeau was on the green. Every time he needed a putt, he made it.
Yeah, and, I mean, he played really well. I'll give him the credit. He played well. I just, like, I'm going to the side with you and Brian all the way.
Because
I never heard him talk before, bruh. I was like, man, somebody slapped the hell out of him. They even cut him off, which I loved. Like,
he's Timmy Tube Socks on steroids.
All the way.
Yeah, he's just giant baby. But he's good.
Drinking damn muscle milk.
Muscle milk on the course. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. It's a Falcons Monday. Brought to you by Comcast. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.